Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Alrighty, I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to the saddest podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode will work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is scents. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering scents in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure, as well as hotels. Second, we miss Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system, so we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on, and then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by my two friends, Amanda Pham and Byron Marin, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000-plus visits to the park. All that being said, let's fire off scents here. How was making this list for you, Amanda?
It made me realize that Disneyland is the superior park.
I mean, we already been knowing that.
Right.
Throughout.
But
all
like
this.
Specifically, I was talking to Byron about it. Like, it's just hard to like pinpoint something in California Adventures.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's been the case for most of the topics we've had here. Not a lot of California Adventure representation here.
You ever have those moments where even when you're not in a Disney park, there's something that somewhat resembles that smell and immediately it just takes you to a spot in Disneyland? Yeah. You don't get that for California Adventure.
You really don't. Well, maybe there's one thing that gets you there. Also, I want to point out there's a little crow above my head here who keeps a con every now and then. I think he did it a couple times in the intro, so he may make a couple appearances or cameos in this podcast. This was actually a little tougher than I thought. I think Amanda had mentioned when we were making our lists, she said a lot of what she did to recall these scents was placing herself in the environment and walking around, and then the scent actually just comes to you. But there are a couple scents that right off the top of my dome, I knew these are scents that immediately bring me back to Disneyland. So this will be interesting. Looking at the list, not as much overlap as you'd think, and there are some surprises here in terms of things that didn't make the list. I'm okay with it, but we will see. All right, let's just kick this off then. Let's go to number five, which is, oh, there's that little crow. This fucking guy, doesn't he know we're trying to record a podcast?
He wants to make sure we give Dumbo a mention in this episode.
Yeah. Let's go to number five, which is once again a tie. So this is, I guess, going to be 4A and 4B. And this will to cover up for number five. Anyways, let's go with 4B. And this is the Star Tour scent, specifically the AC/ seating material smell, which was also formerly on the monorails too.
Too specific?
Let's go to Amanda for the Star Tours tent scent that was described in great detail by whoever put this on their list. Amanda, where was this on your list?
It wasn't, but. Like, listening to that description, I know exactly what you're saying, Byron.
And that's the tough thing about doing this list, by the way, is it's hard for me to, at least me personally, it's hard to describe what a scent is.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it's one of those things where if you just say the scent, it should be immediate recall in our brains.
Like, if I were to describe a fart, I'd be like, oh, it just smells like a fart. I don't know what else to say.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, some farts have different smells. Some are a little bit more sulfuric.
So you're gonna do a lot better on this.
I agree.
You know what? Let's just jump to Byron because he was clearly the only one who put this on his list. Describe the AC/ seating material scent.
And I don't know if it's just, I guess Star Tours in regards to the Disneyland Resort just seems to be the best example nowadays they have updated to what the Mark 7 for the monorail.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have that material and that AC anymore.
No, it doesn't have the, I know the material you're talking about on the seats. And the monorail, did it have those padded things on the seats before?
I believe it used to because they still have them on Disney World on the older.
Oh, yeah.
On those older models.
Because the monorail seats now are just plastic, the new ones.
Yeah, and it doesn't give that off. And as a matter of fact, the AC doesn't work on those things anymore. That's why they have the windows cracked open.
Oh, yeah.
So they're really going like head on into just making sure Tomorrowland kind of sucks.
Yeah, but I do actually know the scent you're talking about when it comes to Star Tours. It's a very specific scent.
Would you say that is kind of that same scent that you got on the monorails growing up?
I would say so. It's like that weird kind of like, it's kind of cushiony, but the surface of it is almost kind of like a tarp kind of like a feel. And it has a specific scent when you go into Star Tours. And I get that scent, but I don't know if it really gets me excited. Maybe just because I'm not the biggest Star Tours fan. So, but
it also might be like pure nostalgia.
It is identifiable for sure. Don't know if I'd have it on a top five list. But that's my own thing. I don't think I even had it in the top 10. But like when you said it, I was like, oh yeah, that does have a specific scent. So
it's probably just like rubber.
Yeah, probably. You know? All of the scents we're going to talk about are probably just like natural degradation of like materials that you could find at Home Depot. And they just so happen to be in our favorite rides.
A lot of placebo at play here.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say about the Star Tours scent. You got anything else, Byron?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
Gonna tell you, I'm gonna be very the verbal detail will I might just be passing things along quickly.
Well, it's a good thing you're doing a podcast then. Let's go to number 4A. This also was one that was strong-armed into the list by only one person. And let's just say it, 4A is the scent of the Indiana Jones adventure. Amanda, let's move to you. Where was this on your list?
This was 2. I'm surprised you guys didn't put it on there.
I did not have this on my list.
Yeah, clearly.
However, I will say that as soon as I saw that you had put this on your list, I was like, this should have been on my list.
It really should. I thought that was going to be like an easy one. I don't know.
Is there a specific like
point
of the ride that you're...
Literally right when you get onto the vehicle.
Yeah.
I just feel like that room has the best smell. It's very similar to the dinosaur ride, right? That smell.
Yeah.
So it's like
that's
that
true.
Vehicle.
It's the machinery of the vehicle that puts off. Anyways, Amanda, go into describing this scent.
Oh, I can't. I don't know how to. I'm going to be so bad at this. It's like food. I can't describe like a taste.
I think you could.
It's like, I know it's like gasoline, probably.
It's weird because I feel like it's gasoline too, but I'm pretty positive that those cars don't run on gasoline.
No, it's got to be like faux gasoline.
Yeah,
they brilliantly.
It's all fake.
Well, is there actually any kind of like smoke or anything being kind of pushed out of the back of the cars, or am I just imagining that because the effects are so good?
I think I'm imagining it too. Because I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's exhaust.
It feels like
right?
It's exhaust. It smells like exhaust. And most people, which by the way, gasoline, the smell of gasoline and exhaust, like if you're on a boat or if you're next to a big truck or something, that has nostalgic value to me because I used to grow up on a lake. We'd go there every summer. And that scent brings me back to that. But the thing about that scent is it's carcinogenic, I believe. However, this scent that Disney has manufactured, I would assume, is not carcinogenic. So I could just sit there and put my little nostrils right into that tailpipe of that Disneyland Indiana Jones vehicle and not get cancer.
It also it stays with you the whole ride.
It does. It does stay with you the whole ride. And it's very specific.
Awesome. Yeah.
I wouldn't want it as a candle. That would be a little strange. But I do love that scent. And I immediately, like if I was blindfolded, I would be like, oh, I'm in Indiana Jones right now. And it does make me immediately happy. So all those things to say, it should have been on my list. I'm a little embarrassed that it wasn't.
I do feel a little bad about not putting on this list. When Indiana Jones crossed my mind, I kind of thought of Adventureland, the front of like the queue and everything as a whole. And it's not specific enough, but that particular point of actually boarding the vehicles, I would know, hey, like this is Indiana Jones. There is a scent that I think I put on this list that has a very, it's just a very similar scent to what this is. But I feel like this would have been a little more recognizable for at least the general public and, you know.
They
would have been able to pinpoint this a little better than what I put on my list.
I mean, my criteria is it identifiable? Does it immediately bring me back to a moment in time or to Disneyland, the area that it's in? And does it make me happy? And this checks the boxes for all three for me. It should have been on the list. And I apologize profusely to anybody who's listening. All glory to Amanda. Anyways, let's move on here. Let's go to number three on the list. And this also was another one that was strong-armed onto the list. And it is the Haunted Mansion Gingerbread House.
No fucking way.
And just by that reaction, I think we could tell who strong-armed this one onto the list. It was not on my list, and it was not on Byron's, but it was on Amanda's. Where was this on your list, Amanda?
I'm so confused. That's like an easy one. I swear, I thought we were all going to be like...
Well, you thought wrong.
Clearly.
Jack.
I'm like very curious to see what happens next. But yeah, I put that as number one because that is my favorite thing to look forward to for the holiday.
This might be a saddest podcast on earth first for us, where somebody had something ranked number one on their list and it was not only, it was just not ranked on anybody else's list at all.
Oh my God.
In any capacity. But it was in my top 10. This was actually going to be my honorable mention. So I'll have to think of a new one now.
Nice.
Let's get into this scent here. What part of the ride are you describing? What incarnation of the ride are you describing for people who may not know?
You get to a point in the ride where you get to like a ballroom or a hall.
This is the Haunted Mansion Holiday?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. That counts, right? Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It's evergreen. So, yeah.
Yeah.
In the regular version, it's that big hallway where they have the Pepper's Ghost in full effect.
Yes, yes.
And I just feel like for the holidays, I look forward to like getting to that point of the ride and just pointing that out and bragging about it and like just in the gingerbread house changes.
Yeah, every year it's a different incarnation of the gingerbread house, which is amazing. I do always look forward to how monstrous it's going to be this. Yeah.
There was a rendition a couple years ago, or maybe it was even a year ago, that was really kind of dark. It was like a little gingerbread man getting tortured, and like there were spikes on the edges of the doors, and they would close in on him. It was really messed up. I was surprised they went there.
The
dark
year.
Well, speaking of which, I'm going to shoehorn a little factoid of today in here. Haunted Mansion movie happening. It is happening. And here's what I have to say. If there's any Disney representatives that listen to this podcast, please cast me in this film. I'll do anything. I'll mow your lawn for the rest of my life if you could just cast me in this film.
Push it.
I'm going to push it. I'm going to start tweeting out like, I don't want to beg in public, but maybe I'll beg in public.
I'm going to draw you in a Haunted Mansion like character, like the butler.
That'd be fantastic.
Or something.
I don't have to be the lead of the film. I don't have to be.
Yeah,
even if I'm a small part, like the creepy butler, I could kill it.
Yeah. A guy who opens the door.
Yeah, or, mansion employee number four. I could be him in the background, like kind of looking like what's going on with the main characters over there. What are they talking about? I could be that guy. So, I don't know. I'm just saying this is me putting it out into the universe. Please cast me in that film. Anyways, let's get back to this.
I think you'd make a great Hatbox Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see some of the concept art from like the old like Guillermo del Toro?
I have not seen
Hatbox Ghost.
You're gonna cause some controversy.
Give it a gander.
Why is that?
It's pretty. It's pretty neat.
The Hatbox Ghost. Who knew he was half Japanese, half Mexican?
Oh yeah, is there gonna be a lot of like angry racists out there? Like, not my haunted mansion. You get that Asian Mexican person out of my haunted mansion. That's not the mansion I grew up with, buddy. And I'll say, sayonara, motherfucker.
I got the role.
And I'll be like flicking them off in the middle of the movie, like flipping them the bird, baby.
He's all bone. Who said, who knows its skin color?
Yeah, it's a haunted mansion. You know, and Asian people are much more superstitious. And I would argue Mexican people are much more superstitious.
Yeah.
I'm really going hard on this.
It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
Good job.
Anyways, put me in that movie. Let's talk more about this gingerbread house, though.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's so strong. It's very, very pungent. I will say that maybe a little too strong, in my opinion. Like, when I go, there's almost like a... I like a little subtlety to the scent, where it's like, oh, that does smell like that. But it's not, like, really punching the back of my nostrils. And this one is really going hard. They're really pumping it out here. And I appreciate that, because it matches the visual. But it may be just a little too strong.
It won't get past you.
It won't get past you. And I just, in general, don't enjoy the gingerbread scent that much. But... It is there. It does take me back to that room. It just doesn't bring me that much joy, because I don't particularly like gingerbread.
There it is.
It's not my favorite thing. All I know is they have a distinct smell, and I have more fun building them than I do eating them. I've never seen a gingerbread house and went, I can't wait to dig into that bad boy.
I just envision you like pulling out like a whipped cream can, shaking it, just like kind of lathering it on top of your house and pulling out a fork and knife.
Yeah.
Like who would do that?
Like, I'm confident that at any point of my life, even young child Ryan, if you said, hey, you want to eat this gingerbread house? I'd probably be like, no, I don't, because it's gross. That's that. Also, I hate frosting. Anyways.
That's disgraceful.
It just gives me my tummy a little ache. It gives me a little tummy ache.
But the popcorn's fine.
The popcorn, I could eat buckets of popcorn for days. Anyways, let's move on here from the gingerbread house and the haunted mansion. It's a great thing to look at, great thing to smell, easily identifiable. They sell it as a candle. So let's move on here. Let's go to number two. Now, here's the ones where we start to have some agreement here, because, I mean, these are the two big players here. Number two is the Orange Blossoms from Soarin' Over California. And before all of you start to get up in arms here listening to this podcast, we are thinking of Soarin' Over California much like the Haunted Mansion overlay, because they do bring it back every now and then. In fact, at the time of the pandemic closing Disneyland, Soarin' Over California was active in California Adventure. So it is technically able to be put on this list, because I know before we had a rule that you can't use defunct attractions. Anyways, yes, the Orange Blossom scent. Let's move to Amanda. Where was this on your list?
This was number three.
Yeah.
Easy. I just remember, and still am, mind blown, like, when I smell those oranges.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Crazy. I really don't know how they would do it.
It's fantastic.
I don't understand it, but I'm, like, very much immersed in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a perfect experience. Byron, where did you have this?
I had this number three as well. I believe it's the only thing I actually put on from California Adventure.
It is for me as well.
But it definitely earns it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that California Adventure isn't exactly a nostalgia factory.
And it wasn't something that grew on me too, which is a testament to how well it's done, because I remember going to California Adventure during the preview days,
yeah,
and getting on that ride as a kid, and immediately, and you know, I'm not out like on orange groves all the time or anything like that. I remember immediately, like, wow, I like, they're actually using the scent. Like, I immediately felt like I was there.
Yeah, it's great.
It wasn't like a long-term nostalgia based Star Tours thing. It was immediately impressed, and it still stands up.
I think this was number two for me, and I have a couple things to say about this one. One, it's so identifiable. It doesn't smell like any other orange scented air fresheners that I've encountered in my life. There's something about it that's beautifully subtle. It does kind of smell like you're walking through an orange grove. It's not overpowering, but it's overpowering enough that you would be able to identify it.
Which makes sense, because you're hovering above it, so exactly. You wouldn't. It wouldn't be overkill.
And I just like how it fits into the whole presentation. Like, what's cool about Soarin' Over California is when you have these scents, you could actually hear them dispensing the scent. Like, you could hear it squirting out. And I actually enjoy that sound. It's almost like a twofer. Like, the sound and then knowing I'm going to get that immediate pleasure release of then smelling the, you know, what's being dispensed.
That's interesting because it could be, like, really bad for us. And we're just like...
Oh, it smells fantastic. It immediately gets me peaceful and zen when it's mixed with the score, the wind blowing in your face. It's truly the one part of the ride where I do, for a second, buy that I'm flying over an orange grove. And it just immediately takes me back to that moment, however long I've been riding that ride.
Same with, like, the river and, like, the ocean.
I wish I could just say Soarin' Over California scents as a whole. This is just the LeBron of that team. It's the one that stands out. But there's plenty of other role players here, and we could mention them, like the ocean, the mountains. There's, like, a waterfall scene that also smells very nice. I don't believe there's a Main Street scent on this one.
In the ride?
No.
In Soarin'?
No. But going back to the orange groves, this particular moment in the ride impresses more grandmas per ride than any other ride in the Disneyland Resort. Almost every single time I've been on this ride, I will hear a grandma somewhere in the building going, "Aw, oranges." And I'm usually like, "Yes, grandma. They bring sense into this motherfucker. Can you believe it?" And she never responds to me. But it always pleases me to know that there's one grandma or elderly person on this ride that's getting their mind blown every single time I go on it. And it's there's nothing better than that. It's like hearing a child's laugh, hearing a grandma's astonishment, like when you show her the face filters on Snapchat and her brain explodes for a second. This is that. And it's guaranteed. It's almost built into the ride. An elderly person will have their brain turned into mashed potatoes for just 1 second every time this moment happens.
I think the success rate for mothers on this attraction in general is just sky high.
Oh, yeah. Mothers.
I know it's my mom's favorite ride.
Oh, for sure. If there was a Facebook group, Mothers for Soarin' Over California, I believe it. This is a 10 out of 10 guaranteed to impress your mom, grandma ride. Hell, I've even seen a grandpa in here being like, "Wow, I really smell those oranges." And... I gotta tell you, Pops, I do too, and that's why it's on my list. It's a guaranteed crowd pleaser, and I also imagine that everyone who's listening to this podcast knows the scent we're talking about. Probably can't say the same for the Star Tours seat smell, but that's neither here nor there. And
that's why I ranked this one higher.
Yeah.
If you smelled real oranges and then that orange, like the scent from the ride, would you know which is which?
I don't know if I would know that. I did buy the orange blossom scent candle, that's specific from this ride. And I gotta say, it smells exactly like
you
it.
You didn't get the Star Tours seat cushion candle?
I don't believe they make a Star Tours seat cushion candle. You should
write
them.
You've been looking in the wrong places.
You should write them and be like, "Hey, could you make my,
Man, it's on the black market.
Could you make my room smell like, building materials from Home Depot? Or like I went to Osh Hardware Supply Store?" I don't think they're going to be manufacturing that candle anytime soon, but they will be manufacturing the candle, and they already have, for this next scent, which is the Top Dog number one. Let's get into it. But before we do that, let's have a word from our sponsor. We don't have a sponsor at this moment, so if no sponsor played right there, it's because we don't have a sponsor. But maybe in the future we will, and then you'll hear a sponsor now. But if you didn't, let's get on to number one. Let's stop jibber-jabber.
If we don't get a sponsor, it's sponsored by the inexistent Star Tours AC scent.
Anyways, let's move on. Number one. Everyone knows what it is. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean water scent. I mean, look, is it probably gross? Maybe. But do I enjoy the hell out of it? Absolutely. Let's move to Amanda here. Where was this on your list?
This was 5. Only because I don't think Pirates was on my, like, ride list either. I just don't feel, like, that connected as you guys to Pirates. But I do appreciate that smell. It's very nostalgic. It's very specific to the ride, which is ironic because Splash has its own scent, too, and it's probably the same water.
I disagree. That water in Splash is not the same.
I think it's the same
trash.
It's not the same. It's not the same scent. It's not as special. There aren't people throwing their ashes in Splash Mountain.
I'm just wondering if that's mental for us.
I refuse to believe it. They actually sell two different scents, Splash Mountain candle scent and Pirate's scent. So, you know, take that for what you will.
Personally, they'll sell more candles that way.
But I mean, it's also for people who like the scent of a bathroom, which is what Splash Mountain smells like to me. So it's a twofer. It's either the Splash Mountain bathrooms or Splash Mountain. We're not here to bash Splash Mountain. Let's talk about the Pirates of the Caribbean scent. I'm just surprised that this was number five on your list. How much I love this scent. I took issue with it being number five on your list.
But do you see my order and understand, kind of?
I don't. I think that's why I'm pressing you right now.
I feel like all five of mine are, like, top five. Like, I think I love them all equally.
Yeah.
But the Pirates ride, I don't know, somehow, especially when you're by the restaurant.
Blue Bayou?
Yeah, that's kind of where it starts for me. Like, from a visceral...
It kind of starts as soon as you enter the queue building.
True.
That is.
Yeah.
But let's move to Byron here, who I would say rightfully so ranked this number one on his list.
Yeah, I think I saved it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
Was it one?
It's the
for
goat for sense. I don't know what else to do. Anytime anyone says anything regarding a Disneyland smell,
it's the one that's going to undoubtedly be brought up in conversation. Mm-hmm. For sure. It's the cocktail party mention of scents for Disney.
I don't know if it's been around so long. Like, like in theory, it seems like it'd be gross.
That's the thing. I think if
it's like
I smell
musty sort of.
Yeah, if I went in any other building, I think with this scent that had water in it, I'd be like, this place smells kind of gross. I would think that, but because it's associated with pirates, it fits the scenery, it fits the mood. It's a combination of all those things for me that puts it at the top of the mountain.
I don't know why it makes everything feel so vast, too.
It does. It makes it feel like you're going to go on a grand adventure, which is something that a scent should do. It's a storytelling element.
That's
crazy.
It really is.
Which is, I guess, a Haunted Mansion gingerbread. That's also a storytelling element, as is the orange blossoms, which is why they're so high on this list. It really is truly remarkable, and I guess we're moving into me here. This was number one on my list, obviously. And I think the reason why, you know, we could go into what it smells like specifically, and we could go into what it means for the ride, but for me, it is the number one nostalgic scent for me. When I think of Disneyland and my first times going there as a child, it's a ride that every child could get on, and it's one of the first rides that usually a child will get on, and it takes me back to young Ryan at Disneyland, carefree, faster than any other scent in the park. It's the one scent that I associate with Disneyland more than any other scent. I'm immediately back in the park when I smell this. Not just the ride, but the park in general. It captures the feeling of being at Disneyland for me. And that's why it's number one. Because it checks all the boxes. It's specific, it's identifiable, and it's super fun. It makes me very happy. And I think... I would like to think that it represents that for a lot of people as well, which is why they have it as a candle. You wouldn't think that musky water would be like delicious for my nostrils.
Was it accurate?
It's accurate. I have it as well.
Interesting.
And I bought it for my mom. She also loves it. It's called Pirate's Life, the scent I have. And it's just fantastic. And I actually do think I've been on the Pirates in Disney World. I don't think it smells the same as the one in Disneyland. It could all be mental. But there's something going on in that show building. I don't know what it is, but, you know, they have a fine dining restaurant next to this scent. What other fine dining restaurant would do that unless the scent was immediately pleasurable? No one's digging into filet mignon and lobster with a scent that's horrible. They knew what they were doing, I guess what I'm getting at. I'm actually curious what this scent smelled like decade by decade. Like, how long did it take for it to smell like pirates? Because I'm imagining this is not an organic, or this is not a artificial scent. This is actually an organic scent that's from the elements of, like, the clothes on the pirates.
The water.
Well, here's the thing, though, because we've been riding this since the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't think it smells any different.
Has it? Yeah, it hasn't gotten any stronger.
Nearly 30 years.
Yeah. because they're refurbishing. They're every now and then, I'm assuming they're swapping out costumes. I'd actually be curious to ride this ride immediately after a refurbishment, like if it would smell not as musky.
I think they might even lean into it. So perhaps it didn't smell this way back when it opened in, what, 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, yeah. Like day.
But maybe by the time we were born, they were like, oh, wait, this is gold. Like, this is, we have, it has a particular scent that everyone's drawn to, and maybe now they try and, like, uphold it. Mm-hmm. Or who knows, maybe it was always that way. But I still think, no matter what it is, I don't think it was intentional.
It is a combination of all the elements, is what I'll say. I don't think it's artificial.
Natural, swampy.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder what it smelled like on opening day.
Gross.
Because this was not an opening day attraction, but I believe this opened in like the late 60s. I can't remember when.
It was right after, you know, yeah, it would have been later. It was right after Walt died.
Yeah. So I wonder what opening day Pirates of the Caribbean smelled like. And then just over time, it added beautiful texture. You know, kind of like when you shower for the first time and your hair is not that great. You don't shower with you don't clean your hair for a couple of days. It gets that beautiful texture. This is the ride, I'm sure, has kind of grown
this
into.
This is our number one.
It's grown into the smell.
Was it one for both of you, though?
It was number one for me.
It was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I put it there because I have a nose and the ability to smell. But, you know, clearly, I'm wondering what's going on over there in Famland, Amanda Family. Because she's putting number one as the gingerbread house.
Hey, she still acknowledged it, though.
She did acknowledge it. Number five, though, it's a slap in the face.
But that is interesting that she acknowledged it and still put it five.
Yeah. Oh, I will say that every week it seems like there's one choice from both of you that I'm disappointed in. And unlike you guys, I chastise you for it, and that's what I do. You don't chastise me for any of my picks. But you know what am I going to say? You guys are better people than me. Let's move on.
Did you have popcorn on your list?
Of course I had popcorn on my list.
Okay. Yeah.
And speaking of which, let's go to honorable mentions. These are things that did not make the list that were on our personal list that we took exception to. We each get one. Let's go to Amanda for her honorable mention.
I have two.
You have two. Interesting. Breaking the rules. Okay. Let's see.
And I won't go into it for both. But okay, honorable mention one is probably the Plaza Inn.
The Plaza Inn. Oh, yes, yes. There's
chicken,
yeah, there's the fried chicken. There's, like, some desserts in there. It's kind of like there's a panoply of scents there.
It's always outside of Plaza Inn, if that makes sense. And I know it's coming from Plaza Inn, but I never eat there.
I eat there all the time.
I mean, the smell of fried chicken draws me in almost anywhere.
And the pasta is also a very good scent as well.
You smell it when you're in line for corn dog, and then you smell it when you're just like waiting for a parade to go away.
Yeah, also an excellent spot to watch fireworks from.
Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with the Plaza Inn, probably, but my nostalgia kind of brings me to that spot.
Yeah, I actually, when I smell that Plaza Inn scent, I'm already imagining it's dinner time, it's night.
Yeah.
There's like the heat lamps on maybe outside in the Plaza Inn, which are delightful. Mm. You can almost kind of hear the crowd atmosphere getting ready to either watch the parade or the fireworks.
I will say that is a good, it is a nice pocket where it feels like you're getting, I mean, it's kind of a trifecta of scent. I think you're getting hit by a few things.
Well, you're talking the outdoor Plaza Inn or indoor Plaza Inn?
Both, because I know it's coming from in.
Okay,
in the
you're saying like
but
those,
I'm saying the outside.
The little seating area, because yeah, you get hit with some of the Main Street scents, you get hit with the corn dog, and you get hit with the Plaza Inn scent coming out of the. Mm-hmm.
Because I know every time I'm going from Main Street over to Tomorrowland, I love passing through that area because you get kind of a plethora of inviting scents.
Plethora?
All probably involving food and maybe swayed a little by those corn dogs, but...
I believe it's plethora, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what...
Plethora sounds like
you
some
think
kind
of, I passed any English classes.
That's plethora sounds like someone you would battle in Greek mythology. Like you travel through the labyrinth and you meet plethora at the end, and they are like, "Hey, have you ever been to Plaza Inn?" And you're like, "What, plethora?" But I by the way, gotta say you do smell the popcorn in the Plaza Inn outdoor seats as well, which you know that's good by me. So yeah, that's honorable mention number one, and normally we don't do two honorable mentions, but we're running kind of we haven't spent much time talking, so I think we should allow it here. What's the second one?
You guys have nothing to contribute to this one, but it's the sushi bar in Monsters, Inc.
Okay, I regret giving you your second honorable mention.
Yeah, I love that you did, though, so I can say it.
The sushi...
It's like the Orange Groves, except it's sushi.
So you're talking about, like, the hint of ginger scent?
It's like, it feels like a sushi restaurant. And it's subtle.
I love sushi. That being said, I'm never drawn to the smell of it.
I actually can't really remember the scent from that ride because, frankly, I don't really remember that ride that much because it's a bad ride. So that's my stance on it. Let's move on to Byron's honorable mention here.
Okay, this one's going to be a little interesting.
Yeah, I like a preface like that.
The Disneyland Railroad, but more specifically... The moments where you enter tunnels. Most specifically, the dino room.
Yeah.
Where you're going through. And this is actually a similar scent to what I get when I'm on the Indiana Jones attraction.
It's different, though. And it is specific. And you get that beautiful little score that trickles in. That dun 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 dun. It's good. It's good. I like this scent. I don't know if I like the scent as much as I like that little music, but they're one and the same.
It's like a tone changer.
It is a tone changer. And it does smell specific. That's a good one. I like that. I like that. I like the way you move.
I mean, it's not as good as the sushi choice, but...
You know what, Byron? I like that so much. Let's have another honorable mention from you. What's
another?
Something,
oh, okay.
Just go to something on your list that didn't make it. There's one that should have made it. I could say it for you. Byron on his list had... And we're going off the rails here. Not to make a pun there from the railroad. but Byron also had number 5, churro carts, as his.
I mean,
that's obvious.
We would be
remiss to not mention the churro carts.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to hold back on putting too many food-fueled scents, but it's, same with the popcorn. I could have easily put the popcorn on the list, too.
We can't do a scents episode and not mention the churro carts. Now, here's a fact or fiction question for you. Fact or fiction. They pump out artificial churro scent to enhance the churro carts.
I would say that's a fact.
Wait. You fact or fiction that they do? I think that's fiction.
I actually don't know the answer. I'm just curious where you guys stand on it.
I think it's all naturally.
I think it's a fact. I believe it. I believe that Disney.
I mean, that's
crazy
really impressive
enough.
If they're not going, like, if they're not actually pushing those scents out, because I swear, like, 100 feet away, it's like the second that thing's in, you know, eyesight.
I'm smelling it. Yeah.
I'm getting some bit of.
What's weird to me about the churros, like Byron is alluding to right now, is I'm not clocking it by sight. I'm clocking it because I'm smelling. I'm like Wolverine when I'm walking around the park. All of a sudden, I'm starting to sniff the air, and I'm going, "There's churros nearby."
Ooh, that's pleasant. It's almost like they time it. Like if they were to shoot it out at you, it'd be like 50 meters away, so that by the time it's kind of registering to your brain, you look up, "Huh."
Now, does that cheapen it at all for you? That it's maybe added, there's artificial additives when it comes to the scent?
It would if I got the churro and it didn't smell exactly the same.
Exactly,
just
yeah.
closer up. So it very well could not, it could just be that cart. But
I think you guys
know.
Are conspiracy theorists and actually it's the churros.
No, it'd be really impressive. I guess I would say I'd prefer if it was just straight up coming from that. Cart.
Look, we're of the same mind here. If it is, in fact, being pushed out at me through like an air cannon, then so be it. I applaud it.
It'd be insanely impressive.
It's impressive. The engineering, the ingenuity of having this scent being blasted at you to make you then want to buy the churros. Fuck it, man. Trick me. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It smells great. And there is another there's candles for this as well. So. What are you going to do? I will say, and here's my argument for why I think it's artificial. These churros smell more churro-y than any other churros I've had. Like if you go into a movie theater or you go to like another amusement park or a bowling alley, they have churros, and they don't smell as strong as these Disneyland ones do. And I think that lends credence to the idea that they are pumping it out. Anyways.
You know what's overall pretty impressive about all the scents that they pump out for these foods in general?
Yeah.
Is that I think it's just not very Disney to, like, throw stuff on a billboard, like, to take those commercial photos.
Yeah.
So they just go for the subconscious.
That's actually a good
manipulation.
Point. It's evil, but like I like
it. Because they don't sell their foods visually as much as they do. They lure you in with the scent, and then you just see the actual food itself. They're not throwing photos of come get this at
this
car.
It's all subliminal. Like, ooh, gross.
You know, I actually kind of, that should be Disneyland's new slogan, what I just said there. It's evil, but I like it.
But then again, here's the deal, though. You get to see the food before you purchase it. So you're actually seeing the real thing as opposed to, you never like order that taco that just looks like it's full of stuff and then it's like a tenth of the size you thought it would be or just not.
Mm-hmm. You can never
what you see is like what you get.
Exactly. And you can't be disappointed by like wanting to eat something because of the scent. Because you're not like, that's not what I look like, what I thought it was going to look like.
But then it's the same when you're eating the food. That scent that lured you in is the scent that you still have when you're enjoying the food. So they're not cheating you.
I agree. Let's move to my honorable mentions here. Let's just get it out of the way. I rank this number 3 on my list. It should have been on the list. It's Popcorn Baby. And we all knew this was coming.
I think you deserved it, though.
No, this is what we knew was coming. This is as sure as the sun rising in the morning.
I'm gonna use the restroom.
And it falling at the night. It is what it is. Popcorn should have been on this list. Look, I get there's a lot of people saying that, hey, I associate that scent more with the movie theater, the cinema, if you will, than I do Disneyland. And that's fair. I go back and forth with what I associate it with. But when I smell this popcorn, I think of... you know, the Haunted Mansion, the popcorn cart outside the Haunted Mansion, or just the gentle glow of it in the night. It's something that makes me feel like I'm walking around the park. It's the number one park ambient scent for me when it comes to what places me in the mood that I'm like walking around the park, not that I'm like at a singular place or attraction. So I think it deserves to be on the list, but that's just because that's what I associate that feeling with.
No, it undoubtedly has a very distinct... scent.
And I will say that I don't know if it's a specific or special popcorn scent. It smells like a movie theater. And that's fair because they use the same kind of cooking materials. They use canola oil. For a while, they used the same kernels, which was Orville Redenbacher. Now they're a Pop Secret. But that will be one of my honorable mentions. And then the next one, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go 2 honorable mentions here because I'm feeling crazy. I guess you could count it as 3 because I already did 1. The honorable mention for that was actually number 6 on my list was the Gibson Girl Ice Cream Parlor on Main Street. I have such fond memories of being in this ice cream parlor, looking at the different flavors, getting all the different samples. I don't go in there as much now as an adult, but I went in there all the time as a kid, and it just has this, like, I don't know, this beautiful ice cream parlor scent, and it's very pastel in there. It just makes me feel very relaxed and excited. I love it. And
we definitely had to bring this one up. I had this originally on my list.
Yeah, and you could definitely smell it spilling out into Main Street as well, too, which is great.
Sometimes I just walk through it.
Yeah, just for the scent.
Yeah.
It's like a mix of ice cream and cookies is kind of how
and
I
that
would
waffle
describe
cone,
it.
Too.
Yeah, and the waffle. Oh, God.
So good.
It just smells fresh, it smells organic, and it smells like happiness, and I love it. So that would be my honorable mention. But here's another one, and this is probably, this might be one of the first mentions of the Disneyland Hotel that we've had on this podcast. I know that the Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian and Paradise Pier Hotel, none of them have specific lobby scents like Disney World does. Disney World, if you didn't know, their hotels, each lobby has a specific scent, which is interesting. Like the Grand Floridian, yeah, I can't say that 2 times fast. Grand Floridian. That lobby has a specific scent. It's kind of like a jade-ish scent, as well as the Polynesian also has a specific scent. The Contemporary, I could go on for days for that. But the Disneyland Resort, the Disneyland Hotel in particular, the lobby doesn't have a scent. But I would argue that the hotel room itself, when you get into your actual room, you open the door, you're greeted by a specific hotel room scent that I do believe. Is specific to the Disneyland Hotel. It may not actually be true, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm in the Disneyland Hotel right now,
it's
baby.
Fucking like Lysol.
I'm living large. And look, I love a hotel. If it's a secret, it's no longer a secret. I love staying in a hotel. It's one of the more sad things I would say about this pandemic is that I haven't really gotten that hotel scent. And I feel like of the hotel scents, and it may be cleaning materials, but Disneyland's hotel rooms smell very much like I think a hotel should smell. And it brings me back to being a child staying in that hotel. I know it went through a refurbishment. It's new now, but I still think it smells the same. I don't know what it is. It's probably in my mind, but it is so.
It's in your mind.
Yeah.
No, I thought about putting that on the list, but yeah. I realized that. I mean, I think it's kind of it's a hotel smell in general for a lot of the Disney hotels.
Almost all the Disney
hotels.
Not so
much the Grand California. Yeah. I think they do like make it a little more polished.
Yeah.
To kind of fit that woodsy vibe.
Yeah.
But man, there is something about getting hit with that AC on after a long hot day at just all these kind of Disney hotels.
Well, especially
in Disney
World. Disney
World.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that.
You know
all
what I'm
the
talking
time.
About,
yeah.
Byron. Byron and I have long talked about this. Every Disney property, the hotel rooms, whether or not the lobby smell different, I feel like all of the hotel rooms, the hallways, they all smell the same. And I've been in other hotels, like a no offense to like a Marriott or even the shittier ones, like a Best Western or something like that. And they don't smell uniform. They don't smell like these Disneyland hotels do, or Disney hotels rather. And I could be crazy. I might be sounding like an insane person right now, and I acknowledge that, and I'll take it.
No, I actually think Grand Californian has its own smell.
Maybe, but Byron and I have long talked about going out into the parks, especially if you're in Disney World. You're in that Florida heat. It's a long day. You crawl back after getting off maybe a bus or a monorail, and you get into your room. That AC hits you, and you're greeted by that scent with the AC. Turn on the TV. Usually there's
whatever's coming off the walls. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's the carpet.
But I love that when you turn on the TV, you're immediately greeted by the Disney propaganda.
All the stuff,
them.
All the stuff you already know, but you just love drifting off to sleep while that, you know.
Kim Possible is on or something.
Basically, you're just watching highlight reels of all that stuff you're going to go do tomorrow.
It's usually somebody, some lady with a mic. She's out on in the park going wow, here's what you guys have to look forward to in the Disneyland Resort tomorrow.
Sign up for vacation.
And I'm like,
club.
I've been on that 20 times. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I always see it and I'm like, wow, this is great. It makes me feel like I'm in Disneyland. And I guess I don't have that experience as much as Disneyland because Disney World, I'm usually staying in a hotel. Disneyland, you know, I'm an AP holder, baby. I'm not really. Every now if I want to treat myself, Byron and I do have an annual trip. Where we stay at one of the hotels. I don't know if I want to give it away.
Winter retreat.
It's a winter retreat. So if you ever see Byron and I in the park in the winter and we look particularly happy, it's because we had a hotel room that may or may not have had ice chests full of beer inside of it that we could then go back to and pit stop at. That's the best part about Disneyland when you're an annual pass holder, when you finally get the treat of having a hotel to kind of rest your little feet. After you're done, walking around, what a treat. It's truly the best. Doing it with a hotel is a luxury.
You get to enjoy the late-night shows.
Get to enjoy the late-night shows. You can have a little nap if you want one. It's fantastic. Anyways, we're not here to talk about the hotel at large. I just think the scent has a specific scent. Let's move to dishonorable mentions now. Amanda, let's start with you.
I think mine is the horse shit on Main Street.
I mean, I can't argue that one.
I don't know how I didn't think of that. That's so good.
It, blocks, immediately blocks any sort of happy scent.
That's true.
You.
Especially when you see it just shoot out of that bunghole when you're walking behind it or when you're on the cart. I've been on that, trolley and just watching just a fat turd shoot out of that horse's ass. And it immediately greeted by the scent that follows the visual. It's not fun.
Oh, it spans 30 feet, too, because it keeps walking.
Yeah, yeah, it's just walking. Drafting. It's crop dusting the entirety of Main Street.
I don't blame the horse, though.
And I know I'm very immature because I always look at it. I'm just like, oh, my God.
It's just not great.
Yeah. I do feel bad for those horses. So, you know what? We deserve the shit scent. That's what I was saying.
For making them do that?
For making them carry my fat ass around while I'm chowing down on a corn dog.
When you could walk that 10 feet.
It's carrying me the length.
I don't like riding those, any of the Main Street transports.
Yeah. Why are you riding it, you lazy ass?
I've done it for the experience. I've rode all of them.
It's definitely more for, the experience of, especially now as the years go on, we don't get to ride those kind of.
No, but when you ride it with a child, like I rode with the fire engine. It's not like a full fire truck, but you know which one I'm talking about, the one that has a little horn.
Mm-hmm.
You ride that with a toddler, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. And you realize how easy it is to impress and make a toddler happy.
If fuck.
And then you realize how much of Disneyland is actually for adults, baby. This reminds me, and we're going fully off track here, but whatever. We're going full Disney adult this episode. I know. Oh, we're outing ourselves. We already outed ourselves. We have a fucking podcast. Okay, so, but Byron... Byron, for I think it was his most recent birthday, or maybe it was two birthdays ago.
Oh, no.
Byron, you want to tell the story about your birthday that you had at Goofy's Kitchen?
Oh, fuck off. No. Can we do this another episode?
Rum
can we cliffhang that one?
Okay, fine. We'll tell a different story. But
we'll
it
do,
just...
well, maybe if we do like a good like hotel episode, a resort episode.
Yeah.
Were you naughty?
No, it's
no,
just...
it's just...
There was a faction of his friends who loved it, and there was a faction of his friends who did not love it.
Look, no. our yeah. love for Disney parks understandably splits a crowd yeah. amongst the peers.
Yeah, it does.
I think that's so annoying.
I think
though.
It's like, I think it's I think it's enjoy. Fair. I do think it's fair that people have the opinion of, hey, like you're a fucking grown adult.
But like, if people just get over the whole cool factor, like just fucking let yourself enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I
oh no,
I know you guys are.
I respect that opinion as much as I respect my own.
Yeah, it's, right. it's everyone's to each their own. And if mine is I'm gonna eat 18 churros at Disneyland and feel great, then that's what I'm gonna do. Let's move to Byron's dishonorable mention because that was all the discussion on very topical horseshit. We definitely stayed on that topic. Byron, what's your dishonorable?
You're gonna disagree with me.
Okay,
here.
That's
because I'm going with the Autopia gas fumes.
Yeah, I do disagree with you. I do like that.
There
gas.
Is, don't get me wrong. There is a sense of nostalgia.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's always overcome with, man, this is not healthy breathing this in.
Oh, it can't be. I actually always wondered when are they going to change these to electric vehicles because there's no way that's healthy to breathe in those fumes. You could actually see the exhaust coming out of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, you know what? It's yeah, you could get a similar smell when you. Are on the 405 freeway between the hours of 4 and 5 p.m. on a weekday here
just,
in Los Angeles.
Just open
and you just,
windows.
Like, roll the windows down when you're in, yeah. Just, you know, standstill traffic.
That ride cracks me up, the idea that we're training the youth of our generations to experience traffic in L.A. The ride is dorky as hell. And, look, if that upsets you, I don't care. I hate Autopia. I think it's a dumb ride, and I think it takes up a lot of space. Although I will say maybe it's short-sighted of me because when I was a kid, I was stoked to drive a car. I was like, wow, I'm like my dad. I'm going to work. Which is a weird thing when you're a kid. All you want to do is do what your parents did, not realizing that those things were the most mundane tasks, like driving to the grocery market would be a marquee event for a child.
Have you heard of the rumors of them taking down Autopia to try and make room for the Tron coaster?
I have heard those rumors, yes. And... the best part about those rumors would be that they would also have to take out the Finding Nemo submarine voyage, which, by the way, my dishonorable mention is the inside of the Finding Nemo submarine voyage. Now, I won't say the scent is particularly specific. It's stuffy. It feels kind of like a crowded airplane, and it's human scent. It's like
you're at the mercy of the people that came in with you on that hot summer day.
Pretty much a doubt, you are going to experience some form of BO. And look, I know we were just saying, hey, it's okay to be a Disney adult and be a Disney nerd. I would consider us on the more hygienic part of that scale. But I'll tell you, when it comes to super sweaty Disney nerds, oh boy,
the gangs.
It smells in there. Yeah. It smells in there.
Yeah, it's true, because no matter how warm it is that day, you see those folks come in with leather jackets, and to each their own, but it will smell in that Finding Nemo.
It's doing it a disservice to say it smells like sweat. It smells like sweat. Like, there's like a C in there. It's sweaty. It's sweaty as hell inside that submarine. And not to mention that ride also sucks. So, Just an overall not great experience. I'm never at home, you know, just kind of yearning to be in the Finding Nemo submarine. I'm never like, wow, I wish I could transport right now into that submarine so I could immediately feel claustrophobic and have the faint scent of BO. It's not good.
Which is, and before entering, you're greeted with a lot of those Autopius fumes. So it's just, that's a...
It's a cocktail that I won't enjoy. I'll say that. It's a witch's brew. Anyways, that does it for this episode. Any last thoughts you guys have here?
This one made me like really want to go back.
Yeah, the scents. There's something about scents that do it for me. It's not as I guess impactful as sounds, but it's the next best thing.
For sure.
When we started discussing the Blue Bayou with the pirate scents, I was like, man, we should, when we make it back, make a reservation.
Oh, and just go to town.
Yeah.
Hell
just
yeah.
Show I was up like, in we gotta have a celebratory
show up in like right there.
We show up in a suit.
Dude, how funny
like
would
shoot,
that be? Just
suits.
Like, yeah, we're live here
at the Blue Bayou.
At the Blue Bayou, paying $100 a head.
I wonder if they would stop us from recording it. They probably would.
You just mount your mic up there.
Like, what are they gonna do? Also, just ruining the ambiance for everyone around us by like going, "Hey, what's your top five?"
Bang, bang,
yeah, it's beautiful.
You really like that pick, Byron? What is going on?
Anyways, that does it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us on our various social media accounts at SaddestPod on Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you for the next episode, where eventually we'll talk about Byron pissing off half of his friends at Goofy's Kitchen. Bye-bye.